Gnosis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is meditation, part one. And before we explore that topic, I would just like to mention that we have something very special for you later on. We have a gift for you, which we'll talk about later, and we also have a special offer. But before we begin our show, I'd like to give some credit to our founder, Alice Bailey, who wrote 24 volumes of literature, and that literature is the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. And the following thought is also from that literature. There is a way which can be learned and practiced, by which the consciousness can be focused, aligned, and turned towards the first source of spiritual inspiration, the soul. And that's from an introductory booklet on meditation that we have, and it's called The Science of Meditation. Why should one learn to meditate?
I don't know that one should meditate. I think one meditates because one has to. I remember many years ago reaching a point where I felt like I had to learn to meditate. I can dimly remember, because this was many years ago, thinking that meditation might enable me to get control of my mind. That was one motivation for learning to meditate on my part. I suppose people come to meditation with a wide variety of reasons and motivations. Stress relief is one very common type of meditation today, and in this frantic world that so many of us live in, it's probably a very good reason to try meditation. Not all types of meditation give stress relief, and that's important to remember. Just as no one pill provides a cure for every ailment, no one type of meditation meets every need that a person or a group of people might have. So you have to do some research and investigation and clarify in your own mind what you're looking for if you're considering meditation.
Yeah, I think one valuable asset that what can be achieved in meditation is simply learning to think and learning to concentrate. That is
not so easy.
No, it isn't. And that's one of the first steps, in fact, at least in the meditation that we do, the type of meditation that we do, which is very involved in the mind and the bringing the mind under control. And this takes concentration, and it's not easy, as you say, which you might think so, but try holding your mind steady, as we say, steady in the light, for just a few seconds, and you'll see how difficult it is, because the mind, particularly the analytical lower mind that we use on a day-to-day basis, that is constantly moving. It's constantly modulating. And if you could see it on a scope, you would see this constantly modulating wave pattern. And the idea is in meditation is to slow down that modulation so that it becomes still and quiet as a quiet pool. And oftentimes a pool of water is used as a symbol. And because in order to begin to synchronize with this inner self, the inner soul, it is necessary that one first achieve a highly concentrated state of the quiet mind.
I suppose that the mental agitation that so many people experience today is in fact a sign that humanity, especially in the Western world, is developing mentally in a very accelerated rate. And that very agitation and overstimulation might be the motivation to learn to meditate, because we do find in the last 20 or 30 years that there's been an increasing interest in meditation. And I think that must be one reason that so many Eastern teachers have come to the West, both from India and from the Buddhist countries, bringing methods of meditation that have probably taught thousands upon thousands of people about how to develop their spiritual life. So the very situation that demands meditation is also productive of a deepening awareness of the need for it. We come to a decision to learn to meditate because, in a sense, we've reached a point of crisis. I don't think one would take up meditation if one were totally content with one's life, do you?
Probably not, because it wouldn't they wouldn't be attracted to seeking some kind of outlet for their energies. And if one is perfectly content with his life or her life, then there's no movement. Mm-hmm. And there must be, and this is what meditation does in a way, if it's done the right kind of meditation, it can lead to more crisis in a way, because it opens up one to the inner light, the inner realms of the soul, the inner energies of the soul, and when those start pouring in, then it can kind of disrupt the old balance that one had.
I think that's an interesting aspect of the writings of Alice Bailey, that they make you realize that reaching a point of crisis is not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes that's the very impulse that enables one to move forward in one's spiritual life, because you are experiencing a crisis. So, assuming that people come to meditation not because they should, because somebody advised them that it would be good for them, but because they feel the need to learn to meditate, they are probably sensing an urge to get in touch with a realm of life and a realm of consciousness and an aspect of themselves that they haven't previously known. And meditation is perhaps in essence a means of reclaiming or rediscovering the rest of yourself, your inner self, the soul. Maybe a lot of people aren't aware that that is an aspect of meditation, and yet I think it's fundamental to it.
Well, it is, especially in the work that we do, because the soul and alignment with the soul and bringing through the soul qualities into the world is central to our work, and it's central to the Alice Bailey teachings in the books.
We could say that there are two essential premises for meditation. One, that a human being is essentially a spiritual entity, a spiritual being occupying a personality form, and not the other way around. And the other premise is that energy follows and conforms itself to thought. Meditation works with energy, molding it, directing it, and by forming clear, lighted thought forms, the energy becomes mobilized in a particular direction. That might be a definition of what Raja Yoga is.
And Raja Yoga is that kingly science of the mind, as the old term goes from the Eastern teachings, and that's the that's essentially the form of meditation that we do at the Lucis Trust.
A lot of people probably think that yoga is postures and exercise and physical movement. That is one type of yoga called Hatha Yoga, but there are many different types of yoga. The yoga of the breath, yoga of devotion, the yoga of the centers. Raja Yoga, as you say, is the yoga of the mind, and that's the type of meditation that we emphasize. I think too often in our particular present society, the mind is kind of denigrated. Do you notice that people tend to use the term the head as a bad thing, that somebody lives too much in their head? They should be living more in their heart. They should be coming from the heart. Well, I think we need both, head and heart. And I think it's too bad that the head, the mind, is denigrated by some, because if anything, we need lots more mind, not less of it. What they probably mean when they say that people live too much in their head is that they are too much polarized in the concrete, analytical mind, don't you suppose?
Right, yes. And there is a lack of, seemingly lack of warmth there, perhaps, which gives the impression that one is kind of cold and mental and academic.
Not engaged in life or in human relationships.
Yeah. But the value of meditation is, of course, is that one can, using the techniques that we provide, one can transcend and enter into this higher mind, a more intuitive level of mind. And the intuition really lies above this analytical stage. And that's where the true energies of the soul can come through.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. And our topic for today is meditation, part one. And we have a gift to you from Inner Sight or Lucis Trust. And it's called the Science of Meditation, and actually our thought for today began with a quote from that particular booklet. And it would help you to explore that topic further, meditation. If you read that book, it's more or less an introductory booklet on meditation, but I think you'll gain a lot of knowledge from it. So once again, what you ask for is the Science of Meditation, and we'll be happy to send it out to you, free of charge, of course. And to order the Science of Meditation, call on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, that's 1-866-695-8247. Once again, ask for the gift that you heard on Inner Sight called The Science of Meditation. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. Well, we also have a special offer from the LUCIS Publishing Company. And the title of the book is From Intellect to Intuition, once again by Alice Bailey, our founder. It's called From Intellect to Intuition, and the special nature of the author of the offer is that it's available for $12. And the uniqueness of this is that you get free shipping and handling if you mention Inner Sight. We all know how costly shipping and handling can be. So once again, you have to ask for, if you want that, it's called From Intellect to Intuition by Alice Bailey. Available for $12, excuse me, free shipping and handling if you mention Inner Sight. You have to order by mail. The book has to be ordered by mail. LUCIS Publishing Company, write to LUCIS Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And that's $12, check or money order, to LUCIS Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. I'd like to get back to our show on meditation. If we don't have any more to say about the former question, you certainly were thorough in your answer, but I have another question for you. What is the difference between prayer and meditation?
Well, there's one kind of hackneyed definition that prayer is when one talks to God, and meditation is when one listens to God. That's a bit facile, but what it means is that prayer is the means of addressing or approaching God transcendent, God as separate from, apart from, above, greater than this world and all that lies within it. It reflects the expression from the Bhagavad Gita, having pervaded this entire world with a fragment of myself, I remain. Prayer is the means of addressing this great creator as apart from oneself. And there are times when one feels utterly bereft and unable to cope, and one does turn to that higher power because one feels there is nothing within oneself that can rescue one. That's when one turns to prayer. Meditation is the... listening to God is the facile definition. One could say that meditation is the means of contacting God immanent, God within, the divinity within every human being. That aspect of divinity is one's true self, one's soul. And meditation comes is the means by which one comes into alignment or merges with this inner divinity. It's called the Christ principle quite often, but it doesn't mean that only Christians have access to this inner divinity, because the Hebrew word is the Shekinah, God in the world, God dwelling within man, or the Buddhists would call it Bodhi, the Hindus would call it Atman. Meditation is the means of coming into contact with that God immanent.
And so that makes meditation a little more dynamic, I think, because it is much more actively involved with the source of energy, and meditation is kind of opens the channel, opens the way towards this inner source, and because that's where the energies of life and love and goodwill are actually that's the source of those energies.
Mm-hmm.
And meditation is the means of tapping into that source.
And the premise of Raja Yoga, the science of the mind, is that one uses the mind to tap those energies, to create what is essentially an alignment. This alignment, or this merging of vibrations, we could say, between the outer person and the inner divinity, the soul, comes about through an aspect or an activity of the mind. And by that I don't mean just our analytical, concrete, critical, divisive lower mind, which analyzes and discriminates and itemizes and calculates. That's one part of our mind. But there is another aspect of the mind called the higher mind, or sometimes called the abstract mind. This aspect has to be engaged in meditation because it provides a kind of a bridge to the soul, the Christ principle, the inner divinity. So meditation is in essence the building of a bridge, or what seems like a bridge, between different levels of the mind.
And there's another use there of this, of the mind principle, and that is for thought form building, which is a very valuable tool, because thoughts are things. The thoughts that we have are energy patterns, and they set the energy patterns in motion throughout human consciousness. And we are, as we work in meditation, at least the type of meditation that we practice, one can reflect deeply on ideas and bring forth a solution to the problems that we face. And using meditation is one good way of doing that, because it builds the thought form of solution, as we say. And working in meditation by using the mind to think deeply and seriously about solutions to problems, excuse me, is one way of using meditation in a creative way.
And yet we're advised in the writings of Alice Bailey not to meditate on our personal problems. We're advised to work instead with an alignment that brings in a contact with the soul from which solutions to all problems come, but without focusing directly on the problem. So what are you referring to when you say meditation on problems is constructive?
Well, I meant not so much personal problems. I didn't mean to take one's own personal problems into your meditation, because that's just putting all the focus on yourself, but it is...
But what if you have real problems? Real problems, big ones. What should one do? Just hope that they'll go away on their own?
Well, I think oftentimes if one gets out of oneself, in other words, by focusing on the inner self, the soul, the selfless self, then you begin to work your way out of the situation that you're in, and maybe you'll solve the problem simply by not focusing on it.
I think that was sort of what the psychiatrist Jung implied, that no problem can be solved on its own level. It has to be solved from a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
And so I suppose if you have a problem that is experienced, say, on the emotional level, it can only be solved from the mind. And if you have a problem that is some kind of mental problem that requires discrimination and you're not sure what to do, it has to be solved from a still higher level of the mind, the intuition or whatever.
And really the problems that we concentrate on in this type of meditation work is problems that have to deal with the situation in the world at the present time, or in trying to visualize and correct the situation as we see it, and building like the thought form of goodwill and love, and bringing those qualities, those soul qualities, into the daily life and concentrating on those, then one's energies are focused on making corrective measures, and here again it's thought forms of solution.
You could say then that meditation is not a retreat from the world, but a way of renewing one's view of the world. I think so many people think meditation is kind of a way of opting out of life, of disengaging oneself, of going on retreat and thinking beautiful, spiritual, pure thoughts, but not really being a participant in the world. That is true if one is a monk or a nun, I suppose, and even some of them are highly engaged in the world, but the cloistered nun or monk would be one who retreats. For most of us, though, we live in the world, and in fact our responsibility, as you're saying, is to find a way to contribute to the solution of the world's ills. And so meditation can be a powerful means of service. It isn't done just for oneself. It isn't just to develop spiritually or to feel better about oneself or to be more content or happy. Those are kind of side effects of meditation, which really is about aligning one's self with one's higher purpose, with the soul. If we realize that the writings of Alice Bailey say the soul is in meditation deep throughout the incarnation of a particular lifetime. The soul is in meditation deep. Then how do we come into contact with that soul? By ourselves learning to meditate and somehow creating an ability in meditation to reconcile or synchronize with the level of meditation that the soul is experiencing throughout our throughout our incarnation. Does that idea make any sense at all?
Yes, it does to me. As you say, it's a way of getting oneself out of oneself and transcending the little self. And so many of the problems that we face today have to do with the selfish, individualized self, and with a concentration on that little self and its problems, its desires. And the soul aspect is the selfless unified, universal self, and it's concentrating on that aspect of ourselves that brings more life and more vitality and more love and sharing and cooperation into one's outer life.
The idea that the soul on its own plane is in deep meditation throughout the incarnation is probably news to a lot of us, and what that implies is that the soul is on its own level meditating on the plan known in the mind of God. And that means that each of us has a higher self, an inner divinity, a soul, which is engaged throughout our entire lifetime in meditating on its particular contribution to or part in the working out of this divine plan. I find that idea astonishing and kind of thrilling and in a sense liberating, that as a human being I have my petty little problems and concerns and aspirations, but as the soul I'm a member of humanity and we are collectively engaged as souls in meditating on the working out of the divine plan for our world, not only for the human kingdom but for the lower kingdoms, animal, vegetable, and mineral. And as we learn to meditate, each of us becomes more aware of, more responsive to our particular part in this divine plan. I don't mean that we might have some gigantic world shaking contribution to give, but each of us, as Dale says, can be an expression of love and light and purpose in our particular sphere and environment, and meditation awakens us to that very possibility and in that way liberates us.
Yes, that's a good point. A point well taken, and I think that's a reason for taking up meditation in the first place, because it enables one to get out of oneself, as I said before, and it reverses the focus that we have in the world from ourselves into the world and where our real responsibility lies.
Please take advantage of our free offer. It's an introductory booklet on meditation that will enable you to explore this topic a lot further. The title of the booklet is The Science of Meditation. To order, call toll-free. Our toll-free number is 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS, LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S. We also have a special offer from the LUCIS Publishing Company. It's a book written by Alice Bailey, title of which is From Intellect to Intuition. It's available for $12, free shipping and handling if you mention Inner Sight. You have to order it by mail, check or money order for $12 to LUCIS Publishing Company, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.